Well, this morning we're going to take a look at grace, and we're going to take a look at it primarily coming out of our epistle lesson out of 1 Corinthians. And the reason why we're there, as much as anything, is because, well, I like grace. It's one of, I think it was Philip Yancey who said, it's one of those theologically charged words that hasn't been debased by culture. Not that culture intentionally was trying to debase anything, but words just change over time and they tend to become different than they were. But grace is still something significant. Grace, as just a quick reminder, my favorite definition of it is the unmerited favor of God. It's something that we receive, not because we deserve it, but because God wants to give it to us. And we read in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. And when we think of 1 Corinthians and we think of the church in Corinth, we think of a church that's having some problems. We see them even more in 2 Corinthians. But when we read through 1 Corinthians, it's fairly apparent that Paul is writing a corrective letter rather than just an encouraging one. And he's helping people realize that they're doing some things that aren't helpful, some things that might be wrong. You know, 2 Corinthians, and there are some things that are really wrong. But Paul begins by reminding them that because of this grace that was given to them, Paul is grateful. I always thank God for you. Why? Well, because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. And so what does this mean? Well, when we think of the church in Corinth, it's helpful for us to think of this as a letter to every church. Not because every church had the same problems, thank goodness, but because every church is made up of human beings who bring with themselves, every time we come here, we bring all of us, and none of us is perfect. We all have our own issues, our own difficulties, and sometimes they spill over into the life of the church, as they did in Corinth. But Paul begins by reminding us of the grace that we have all received. And when we look through this short reading that we had, there's some really profound things in there for us. Paul says, for in him, that's Jesus Christ, you've been enriched in every way. Well, and I think about that, and I think enriched in every way is a pretty, it's a pretty wide statement, isn't it? In every way. What is that? What does that mean for us? And I don't think it means that in every imaginable way we've been enriched, because we can imagine being enriched financially, and I don't know if any of us would think we've been enriched. Maybe we would. I think we've all are all well aware of the fact that we've been cared for and that we have, for the most part, what we need. But enriched in every way, I think, means more that we've embarked in a life that is characterized not by scarcity, but by abundance. One of the most interesting ways to interpret my own behavior, and maybe it's helpful for you also, is when I'm interacting with people, am I interacting from a stance of abundance or scarcity? And a scarcity mindset is one that always says, well, I might not have enough, so I can't give any away. And that's not just money or things. It's also kindness. It's also graciousness. It's all of those things. And if we have a scarcity mindset that says we only have so much, we better save it for a rainy day, whatever that looks like. Whereas an abundance mindset says that I have all the kindness, all the love, all the graciousness I need, so I can give some away. And rather than looking at a passage that says we've been enriched in every way and start looking around at the things we have, for me, it's more valuable to look at it and say, enriched in those ways that I take with me always. Not just the things I have, but the person I'm becoming. The person that I have been brought from to where I am now is richer than I was before. I'm more patient. I'm more all of these things that Paul talks about in other places. The fruit of the Spirit, he lists in Galatians. The gifts of the Spirit that we'll get to in a moment. But if we believe in our innermost beings that we've been enriched in every way, it makes it easier for us to be open-handed in the things that we have. Doesn't mean we just scatter them to the wind, but it means that when we have the opportunity to be generous in ourselves or in our things, that we do that because we remember that God has cared for us. And we remember that this statement about being enriched in every way is directed towards a church that was honestly not that great. A church that in some ways we can look at and say, we haven't done those things. We are superior to them if we want to look at it that way. And if they're enriched in everything, in every way, well, we probably are too. Paul goes on to say that the church in Corinth, and by extension us, do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. And that's the one that I come back to even more often than being enriched in everything, is the, we do not lack any spiritual gift. One of the things that I can fall into, and perhaps you can too, in a smallish church, is to think, well, we just don't have enough people, we don't have enough things to do what we want to do. But is that actually true? Now, maybe we don't have all the resources for everything that we want to do, but maybe we're looking to do some things that God doesn't really have in mind for us. If instead we can take a step back and say, what is God's vision for this congregation? Well, I think of the years we've been here, what I think I see Knox doing more than anything else is gathering together on Sunday with all who are here to worship, to be together in companionable fellowship, and to have a ministry to the children of the community of Briarcrest. There are other things we could do that are there as theoretical possibilities. We could sponsor a refugee, except I don't think we have the resources for that. We could sponsor a missionary. I don't think we have the resources for that either. But does that mean those are things we should do, that we can just think of them? Or is it more to the point for us to say, what is it that we have been called to do? What have we been doing over the decades that this congregation has been here? We've gathered for worship, we've cared for each other in fellowship, and we've had a position of influence in the education of the children of this community. And when we think of those two things, we don't lack any spiritual gift. When we look at Knox Presbyterian from those two lenses, we are a rich church because we have all the gifts that we have for the things that God has called us to do. Yes, there are many things we could do. And if we've spent time, you know, when we're traveling, we're on vacation or something, and we drop into whatever church is, well, honestly, most convenient. At least that's what I do. I shouldn't speak for anybody else. When I'm on vacation, I don't want to have to drive an hour to go to church. I want to find one that's close, and preferably one that isn't the same as what I usually go to, so I can see other things. And every once in a while, I'll look at them and go, oh, that would be nice. And it's true, it would be nice. It would be nice to have a large choir. It would be nice to have whatever it might be. I don't want a smoke machine. My older brother sent me a clip from a church that had drummers suspended on sort of slow motion zip wires coming towards the stage. I don't want that either. I'm not interested in that kind of spectacle. That's just not my thing. Music is, but I prefer my drummers and everybody else to be pretty stationary, really. I can look at those things and say, those are nice. Those would be good to have. They would be pleasant. But are they needful for this congregation for this time? And the answer is no. Because the church, if the church is anything, the church is a place where people get together to worship God and to learn more about God and to teach others about God. That's what we're doing. That's what we do in worship services, and that's what happens in Sunday school afterwards. We have all the gifts we need. You have someone who preaches, who has been given the gift of preaching, It took me a long time to be able to say that out loud, even when I knew it, because it always feels so something or other. But it's just saying that this is a gift I've been given, that I then give out as well. It's not anything that makes me, as me, special. It's a reminder that God gives gifts to God's people. And we have gifts of teaching, and not just teaching, but teaching children, because not everybody can teach children. I'm not very good at teaching children. And I know because I tried it. When I was in college, one of the things that you had to do was to be, if you wanted to graduate, you needed a certain number of volunteer hours in the church or not in the church, but it was an opportunity for you to try things in a structured way that wasn't going to commit you forever. The most it could be was a semester at a time. And so I tried children's ministry, and I'm really not good at it. Not because I didn't care, not because I didn't put in the work. I put in lots of work. I put in way more work than the people that I was with who were good at it, because they didn't need that much time. So now I know that. But that's not the gift I have. But I know we have that gift in this congregation, because the children come here, and they're excited to come here. One of the things I notice when sometimes we have kids coming, you know, as I'm on my way out, as they're on their way in, they're not being dragged in here. They're coming giving every evidence of looking forward to something they enjoy. And that's evidence to me that we've been given all the gifts that we need. We don't lack any spiritual gift as we eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Because that's sort of the end goal, is the ultimate revelation of Jesus, which, let's be honest, we hope we all are together when that happens, and it happens soon. But whatever it looks like and whenever it happens, that's what we're waiting for, and as we wait, we are doing the things that we are called to do. We are rich in what we've been given, and we have all the spiritual gifts that we need. And as I was reading this passage this week, and I was reflecting again on it, it was such an encouragement to me to be reminded that a church filled with gifts and a church filled with wealth, as God sees it, doesn't have a size. It's a description of a congregation, a community of faith. Paul never talks about numbers. I think Paul was as indifferent to them as I hope I am. Because that isn't what makes church. This is what makes church. Getting together, to worship together, to be encouraged in our faith, and to celebrate the gifts that we have. We see gifts of music, we see gifts of preaching, we see gifts of helping, caring, we see gifts of teaching given to the community as a gift to them, even as the gift was given to us. Amen.